Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road is out today. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we welcome in our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick, also who I refer to as the smoothest voice in the entire United States of America. Hutton, good morning. How are we doing?
Morning, Hutton.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you so much, Robbie. And let's rock and roll. I'm pleased to be on the morning show here.
Well, Hutton, we were talking about this earlier. You've been around this team for a long time, and you've seen various different iterations of this franchise. What do you make of just kind of the 30,000-foot view of where they're at right now with Tannehill and Henry entering into the last year of their deals? You've just drafted Will Levis. You look at a wide receiver room right now that is largely non-existent. So it's kind of like, okay, are they being competitive this year? Are they totally building for the future? Which one is it? What do you make of the current spot that Rand Carthon and Vrabel specifically find themselves in?
Well, first off, let me say, you're right. I've been around a little while. I've seen it a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? We don't have to go back that far. Second, if you don't know which answer to choose, the answer is they're rebuilding in this league. Especially in the AFC. I can rattle off other franchises that are guaranteed not to be rebuilding right now. And we know that they're the opposite of that. They're ready to go and they're making a run. This team is not built for that currently. And I don't think they're hiding that either because you don't have the Roger Saffolds on this team saying, yeah, this team's built to go to the AFC Championship game. This team's built to go to the Super Bowl. It's not happening this offseason because I think everyone's, you know, kind of looking around going and asking the same question you're asking, Robbie. Well, what are we building for in 2023? And everyone's kind of talking around the edges of that question instead of actually diving in. And when I say everyone, I'm talking about the organization.
Yep.
At press conferences and other things, trying to back up why they drafted backups whenever they're at the podium.
Hutton, obviously, you know, Treylon Burks, so much for 2023 especially, so much is going to be on him based on the way the wide receiver room looks right now. And, look, there were some games that he had last year that were encouraging. I mean, Green Bay comes to mind. He made a big catch down the field in the Jacksonville game last year. But, obviously, health was a problem, and that's got to get better this year. But based on what you've seen in the very limited sample size to this point, what do you think Treylon Burks is, and what do you think he has to be this year for the Titans in order for them to compete in the AFC South?
I mean, they believe he's the number one receiver, but they also are in a situation where he has to be their top guy. And that's totally fair by them, but we haven't seen that guy. You know, like it or not, he's going to be compared to A.J. Brown. And he's going to be judged against AJ and the impact that he had on this offense. And, you know, they've got Tim Kelly last year running the passing game. They want to run more too tight, which is what I think they can do based on what they've done in this year's draft. And look, I'm thinking that Burks can be a true number one, but I've just got to see him prove it in the offseason. And it was around this time last offseason where he's dropping out and tapping out during rookie minicamp. So he needs to have a big jump in that. You know, he can't come in and, you know, point to asthma or being out of shape. He's got to take the reins and run with it because it's Treylon Burks or bust with this wide receiving core currently. And it's tough to improve it dramatically between now and training camp because teams aren't going to really part ways with a bunch of guys post June 1st, unless they've already announced that they're going to part ways with them post June 1st, because you don't want the guys around the voluntary workouts with a chance to get injured. I read into that more than most probably, but the time to make a move at wide receiver was pre or during the draft. That was your best chance to get premium speed, talent, guys who catch the football. And, you know, Vrabel's quote to Ed Werder at the end of last year, you could just rinse and repeat it right now. They need guys that can catch the football on a routine basis. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't want to knock the entire receiving corps. When healthy, they've got guys who can do that. But Kyle Phillips, I mean, based on the position he's playing and the hits he's taking across the middle, there's no way I'm placing my money on the fact he's going to stay healthy. And Treylon Burks, you mentioned it there, has been banged up, and it's not his fault. He's getting concussed by taking a hard hit over the middle in Philadelphia and catching the football, mind you. But this has to be his position and the go-to guy, and they need more of those.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us right now. Jonathan, I think Treylon Burks is probably the obvious answer of, you know, who do you think could have the most significant impact with the jump from year one to year two? Other than Treylon Burks, who do you think is an interesting player that if takes a huge jump from last year to this year could significantly impact this team's success?
They are really betting on Chigakonkwo. They are saying that Chigakonkwo is making the Delanie Walker jump this offseason. And I'm not trying to say it's the same type of production, but in the way he's going to be used. He in San Francisco, whenever he signed here, the talk was, oh, the Titans signed who? The Vernon Davis's backup? And it wasn't the fact that he was backing up Vernon Davis. It was the fact that he wasn't getting the opportunities based on the fact that San Francisco's offense went through Davis. And then Delanie got here and was double and triple teamed and was still producing. Not making Pro Bowls because no one was watching the Tennessee Titans at the time because Ken Whisenhunt was the head coach. But the point being, Chigakonkwo has to be that type of go-to player within this offense. Down the seam, check downs, catch and run. They have to use him in different ways. And I think now they can be more too tight and have more options in the passing game from the tight end position. Instead of throwing to tight ends they have no business throwing to, Chigakonkwo is actually drafted to catch the football. And I think they want to see him take that first true offseason from rookie season into second year and take off underneath a new play caller and a new design, so to speak, on how they're going to use the two tight formations. I think we see more of that compared to what we saw from Todd Downing. Because, and by the way, Todd Downing, and we saw this. We knew what he was going to do. I mean, we saw this in Oakland whenever he was the offensive coordinator there. We also know what Arthur Smith did and what they had success with and how Tannehill threw for 4,000 yards and they had a 2,000-yard rusher. And so the two guys we started the conversation with actually did pretty well when they went primarily two tight ends. And Chigakonkwo's got to be a big part of that, and he's got to stay healthy. We go back to that. Mm-hmm. I always preface all this by saying, on any answer, it depends on the health of the roster because we know how bad it's been over the last 2 years. And it's got to take more than just waving a magic wand and putting turf in at Nissan Stadium to do that.
Well, you're transitioning perfectly into my next question. We've discussed so much about the offense, Hutton. You know, when you look at this defense, I think it's really easy from the outside looking in to assume, okay, you know, Christian Fulton, he stays healthy this year. Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, Kevin Byard. There's all these what-ifs. What if Imani Hooker stays healthy? What if Elijah Molden stays healthy? What do you truly believe that this defense can be this year currently constructed?
Titans defense can be a great defense. I mean, I don't think that – I mean, if you're just prefacing everything by this is the defense we're going to see week in and week out, I think top to bottom the starting 11's fine. I mean, the guy they lost, I mean, if you start thinking about the names of the players and comparing them to the names they brought in, sure. I mean, they lost more popular players. Did they lose production? The guys that they cut bait with weren't really producing all that much. And I'm looking at this thinking, if Arden Key comes in and gives you four sacks, he's giving you what Bud Dupree gave you. But he's doing it on the cheap. And unfortunately, based on what they've done with the cap and how they've tried to maneuver the cap, they need a guy like Arden Key to come in and just crush it and play lights out for a season and then go get a payday somewhere else. They need a young pass rusher to come in and make a name for himself. They need Harold Landry to be the guy off the edge paired with Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry that we saw 2 years ago. And that's totally possible because that's where Harold Landry left off. And we were just starting to see it from Bud Dupree at the end of the season in 2021. And then starting last season is when we saw the injury for Landry. And then Bud Dupree was Bud Dupree, who had an injury history and joins a list of other players who this Titans team either drafted or signed who had previous injuries, and it came back to bite them in some way. And this is a roster now that defensively they really need to come together and gel. And I will also say this, injuries haven't really bitten the defense the same way it's really held back the offense, because the coaches on this Titans staff have done a tremendous job of getting the most out of role players on defense. Those guys are truly the mantra of next man up. And the offense has been the opposite of that. So I believe in the defense because I believe in the coaching staff there. There hasn't been a ton of turnover. And, I mean, they have a defensive-minded head coach who knows the system that he's running. And I think they're trying to get back to more of the system that this Titans offense ran a couple of years ago. And this, by the way, is the truth. And it's the way that they won't describe it because it doesn't sound pretty. They want to be great on defense and good on offense. Now, they want to be great on offense too, but they're built to be great on defense and good on offense. And they win doing that. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen them win at a high rate in the playoffs doing that, but they can point to wins during the regular season, and that gets you to the show. And right now, I don't see them getting to the playoffs based on the way the offense is constructed currently depth-wise.
Jonathan Hutton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hutton, as you look, speaking of the defense, because I agree with everything you just said, Christian Fulton, we saw what they just did with David Long Jr., right? So David Long Jr.
Yes.
signs a cheaper deal in Miami than I think a lot of people anticipated.
They're going to miss him, Robbie.
And they're going to miss him a lot. But he was injured, and now he's gone. Yep. And you look at Christian Fulton, and he's been injured – really the whole time. I like Christian Fulton a lot when he's on the field, but he's been injured a lot. What do you think he has to do this year for the Titans to sign him to a second deal? Is it as simple as he's got to be on the field for all 17 games? What does that look like to you?
Well, he needs to take what Vrabel said at the end of last season to heart. You know, like the off season and how you take care of yourself means just as much as going through the routine process of getting back on the field whenever you've got a hamstring issue or anything else with the soft tissue problems. And that was David Long Jr.'s issue. But, I mean, that's also what – that was his issue contractually on why he didn't get the top money
yep.
or even middle-tier money for the position. I was surprised the Titans didn't sign him to that type of contract. But that shows you that, you know, Vrabel's not lying when he points out and uses those guys as examples. But they need that guy to be he needs to be a guy that you can count on to contribute. Sean Murphy Bunting has been a guy that is going to be on the field. Roger McCreary is one of the players in the defensive backfield, Robbie, that I would point to that says that last year's draft class wasn't all that bad. And Christian Fulton on the opposite side needs to be a more consistent player than what he's been to make up for the fact that Caleb Farley, they don't even want him on special teams. So, I mean, that's where they are. They really need Fulton to have he needs to have the type of offseason I was describing for Treylon Burks. And if those two guys can do that, the Titans they're not going to be as dire and as bad as what the conversation sounds like this morning with me. But, I mean, I'm not betting on that either. I mean, I'm just going with what history tells us. They're going to have guys around him that step up and step in because he's going down for a couple of games with a soft tissue issue.
And last thing for you here, what have you made of the reaction from Titans fans to the Will Levis pick? And we were discussing this earlier.
Yeah.
How do the Titans best position him for success? I have no idea what Will Levis is going to be at the NFL level, but what's the best path to success for him in your mind?
He's in a great spot. He is in a really good position, and I think he realizes that. Here's what I don't know. I don't know if Tannehill's looking over his shoulder or not. Levis needs to make him do that.
Yep.
If he does, Titans have a hell of a pick. And if he does, I think he's starting sooner rather than later. I don't know, though, what they've told Tannehill behind the scenes. They won't say. But they have told Malik Willis, yeah, we found at least a better backup. And we found the quarterback of the future. The investment has been made there. And part two of this is the other quarterbacks I think it's a really good discussion point. Who is in a better spot right now, Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud? It's a really tough question to answer because they are in very similar spots. Both have run games. Both have offensive lines that they believe they've either rebuilt or that they've retooled that's better than last year. They have new head coaches, and they're joining organizations that were not that good a year ago. Meanwhile, Will Levis is joining an organization that wasn't that good 1 year ago, but has been good for the last 5 or 6 years on an annual basis. And he's behind a veteran quarterback that seems to be going through the motions of showing up and being the leader this offseason. And I think that's a great that is a great turn of events for Levis, despite him falling all the way out of the first round. I do think, though, that if he comes in and plays well, I would play him. I'm not ruling that out. I don't know why, if we're all discussing the backup of Will Levis, why he can't compete against Tannehill. And what do I make of the reaction to the draft pick? I'm not a Tennessee Volunteers fan, and I can tell you that Will Levis was not a consistent, great quarterback in the SEC. So it's not just Vols fans that are singing from the mountaintop saying that Will Levis sucked. I can point to games where he wasn't good, and top talent in the NFL at quarterback lift up the talent around him. And also, just real quick, and I know Michelle's cringing here, if it's about, oh, he didn't have a great offensive line, and oh, he doesn't have great wide receivers, I mean, am I describing the Kentucky Wildcats or the Tennessee Titans? He just joined the same team. So
you're not wrong.
I saw how he produced in the SEC having that. So, I mean, he's in another good spot now because he gets better players around him next year if Tannehill's going to start this year.
Hutton, really good stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Enjoy your perspective on this, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Anytime, and next time, I'll tell Joe I said hello, and next time, Michelle, we've got to talk more Wildcats football.
That's right.
Of course, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Jonathan Hutton, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. You can catch him on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow every day on 94.9 The Fan from 2 to 5. Hutton, really enjoy his perspective. He's been around the Titans for a long time and is as good as it gets. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers coming up at First Horizon Park this Thursday. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park coming up this Thursday. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Jonathan Hutton for being with us in the last segment. It is interesting because I would agree 100% with him. Like, I can see a path to this defense being pretty good. I mean, that to me, if the Titans are going to be competitive in 2023, that's going to be why. It's going to be because the defense stays relatively healthy and they play to the level at which they're capable of playing, which I think is a pretty high level. Like, I don't know that it's top five defense in the league. I don't know exactly where that lands, but I like a lot of the pieces that they have defensively. And I think that they're going to have to be great defensively if this team is going to compete and win the division. You look at the other side of the ball, and we had a texter, ask this question too. You know, would anyone argue that Traylon and Chig has to be the most important factor on the team? I think the defense will handle itself. But to me, those two seem to be the most important to open everything else up. And Hutton talked about it. There's a whole lot on Traylon Burks, and there's a whole lot on Chig Okonkwo. We had a texter yesterday ask about, Okonkwo, is he almost as important as Burks? And I'll always lean wide receiver in that discussion. But playmakers, you just look at the playmakers on the offensive side of the ball right now. There's Henry, obviously. There's Traylon Burks that you hope is that guy. You need Chig Okonkwo to be a big one because – other than those three, I'm not really sure where it's coming from. I mean, I like the skill set that Kyle Phillips brings to the table. But to Hutton's point, with the position that he plays going across the middle, he's a small guy. Like, it's hard for me to believe he's just going to be healthy for 17 games. So there's a lot riding on Traylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo next year.
Yeah, 100%, Robbie. I mean, those are, I think, the easy 1-2 punch as far as playmakers. I think that, you know, when you look at Chig and Traylon, they had pretty similar stats last year, considering, you know, towards the end of the season, the fan bases and even us, we were vying to see more Chig Okonkwo on the field because it seemed as if every time he got the ball, he was able to make a play. I can't remember what game it was last year, but I remember he had the ball and, like, you could just see his legs keep running, but he was like, everybody was on him, and he somehow breaks a huge tackle and, and makes a big play, and that's what you can expect from him. I have a feeling he's going to make a big jump, but it really is. We can say, you know, oh, we expect Traylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo to make a huge jump next year, but it comes down to them. Traylon Burks can't be coming into training camp with like he came in last year. And I think the difference is, you know, a lot of times when guys are coming out of college, they're specifically training for the combine, specifically training to get a really good 40 time, and they're training, you know, to do good on all of these specific drills and not necessarily in football shape. And I think, you know, Chig actually talked about that when they spoke to the media last week on how he's been able to just train in the off season and why, and like how it is different than last year training as a rookie to, you know, get drafted and do well at the combine versus, okay, I know what to expect in my first year being on an NFL roster. I know who to train with. I know what the organization's going to expect of me, and I know what my role is coming into next year. I think those guys are going to be huge. And honestly, I look at the offensive line. I think we've talked about it as we're assuming it's better. And we're assuming that an Andre.
Well, if it's not, good gracious, we got some problems.
But, you know, what does Nicholas Petit-Frere look like? I mean, that right tackle position is very important. Can Andre Dillard play left tackle? And Peter Skoronski is still a rookie. And Aaron Brewer is undersized. So I think we can assume it will be better, but how much better?
Yeah, Aaron Brewer is a quarterback out there playing at center.
Hey, safety. Does he want to be? Ryan Tannehill, you want to block?
It's a safety.
Tannehill could be wide receiver. I mean, there are so many options.
Still need to figure out when Aaron Brewer is stepping on scale in front of Jared so we can confirm that he's around 290. It was around 290.
Yeah, that's like when we were talking yesterday and Kyle Phillips listed as 5'11".
Yeah.
Robbie, I'm 5'5¾", and I stood next to him. We were very comparable.
Very similar?
Very comparable. Uh-huh. Very comparable. And I'm not trying to throw shade or anything, but I'm just saying it.
Sometimes those depth charts can be a little deceiving in terms of the height listing.
Yeah, I think Zakai Ziegler was listed as 6 foot.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get out there.
Well, it's the balance between the 2023 version of the Titans and how good they're going to be, and also the future of this team, which, by the way, you know, Burks is going to be a big part of that future. Okonkwo is going to be a big part of that future. It's not just about this year for them, but we're going to learn a whole lot about those guys this year because they're going to be relied on so heavily. I thought it was interesting that Hutton, you know, seemed to be open to the idea of Will Levis playing as well, and talked about, you know, he's not sure if Ryan Tannehill has one eye over his shoulder, kind of looking back and, you know, for the competition this year in camp. But I agree. Like, I think best case scenario for the Titans would be that Will Levis makes it really difficult for you to make the decision to sit him. Like, everybody talks about him sitting and learning behind Ryan Tannehill, and I get it. I understand the thought process behind that. I think the best-case scenario for the Titans would be for Will Levis to make it really difficult to make that decision of, oh, we like what we've seen in training camp, and we like what we've seen with the approach and the building, with the film study, with all those things that go into playing quarterback in the NFL. We like all of it. And we feel like he may be ready to be the starter. Like, that would, to me, even if you decide to sit him at that point and you wanted to sit back and learn and kind of, you know, get his feet wet that way, best case scenario for me for the Titans is Will Levis comes in and he makes it really a difficult decision from him and Tannehill.
Yeah, Robbie, I mean, I completely agree. Like, what does that transition look like? We talk so much about, okay, he was in a pro-style offense at Kentucky. What does that transition look like? Is he able to pick up on things? It's a new offensive coordinator, so things are going to – there are going to be different for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, we didn't see him here this early last year, right? Ryan Tannehill is in there, and he's working, and I think he realizes that – you know, these young guys like Will Levis, you know, second year drafting a quarterback, they're coming in with something to prove. I mean, especially Will Levis, the kid's got a chip on his shoulder. He thought he was going to be a first round pick. We all thought he was going to be a first round pick, drops to the second. He was a polarizing prospect. But he's coming in trying to, you know, vie for that position. And I think that would be best case scenario for the Tennessee Titans. Kind of like we saw the Preds this year, right? Put those young guys out there. See what they can do. You don't have any expectations for them. But, I mean, if they start winning, it's a win-win situation because they get that exposure. They're playing in meaningful games. Could you be in a situation where, hey, you know, he's putting a little fire under Ryan Tannehill's butt. Put him out there. See what he's got. Let him gain some, you know, chemistry with those wide receivers that you hope he's going to be throwing to the next couple of years.
Take more of your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Fraser here with you. Joe Rex Road is out today. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans and Will Levis, 615-737-1025. So back-to-back interesting text here, one from Scott in Hendersonville, who says, if we can figure out the offensive side of the ball, our defense could be great. They'll be going against two rookie quarterbacks and still a youthful Trevor Lawrence. I still feel like we can win the division based off a great defense and a mediocre offense ran by Tannehill and Henry. Caleb and Gallatin says, if the Titans can stay healthy, they'll compete for the AFC South again. With Jacksonville. Last year we had no receivers and Malik Willis who couldn't throw the ball, and we still almost won the division. If we have Tannehill and Henry playing like we think they still can, we'll win games along with a healthy defense. This is from Caleb and Gallatin on the text line. I hear all that, and I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. If things go relatively well health-wise with the Titans this year, I can see where their defense will be good enough where they'll be in there and they'll be competing. I think it's a good point by Scott that brings up playing rookie quarterbacks twice. Like the Titans, you know, especially if Tannehill is playing, like if Tannehill's the quarterback and Derrick Henry is the running back, they need to beat Indianapolis twice this year, and they need to beat Houston twice this year. Like, you can't.
Especially if they're starting the rookie quarterbacks.
Which I have a feeling they will be. Mm-hmm. Well, Stroud almost is a guarantee. Like, I think Stroud's going to start.
No Davis Mills?
The Richardson one, well, pour one out for my guy. We'll see what happens. He'll see it coming, regardless of what it is. But Anthony Richardson, you know, I would assume at some point, based on the rumblings out of Indianapolis, is probably going to be playing for the Colts this year. So if you're the Titans, like, you need to win both of those games. The Jags are interesting because I hear they almost won the division last year with no receivers and Malik Willis playing quarterback and then Josh Dobbs coming in and out of the stretch, and I get all that. The Jags were a different team in the second half of the year last year than they were the first half. I think they'll look more like that team to start this year, and I don't know what the win total of that team is going to look like. I said it yesterday. The Jags also have a number one schedule that they got to deal with, which is difficult. But, like, Trevor Lawrence could also be better. Like, he's on the rise. Like, he's an ascending player in this league. They've got Calvin Ridley coming in. Like, this idea that Jacksonville is just going to, like, stay the same, I don't know that I buy. Like, I like Doug Peterson as a coach. I've always thought Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good. And towards the second half of last year, I think he showed that. So, I say all that to say, it's going to be difficult, I think, for the Titans to win the division based on the roster of the two teams at the moment. Now, we can never foresee injuries and all that stuff. We talked about that yesterday. Maybe the number one schedule proves to be too much for the Jags. I mean, we'll see what happens on that front. But I think Scott and Caleb both nailed the point where it's going to require a defense that, number one, remains healthy, and number two, remains productive. Like, you can't have a drop-off from Harold Landry coming off the injury. You can't have DeNico Autry, like, falling off the table in terms of his production. Like, at some point, he's going to take a step back at his age. And even a small step back from last year for DeNico Autry is still a good player that you can use. You can't have him completely falling off the cliff this year. Like, they need the production to stay the same.
Well, and, you know, moving towards the secondary, too, I mean, you need Christian Fulton to be performing at a high level. In conjunction with a Kevin Byard, you need Amani Hooker to be a factor. Elijah Molden, who was a non-factor all of last year. And Roger McCreary take a step up. He was a guy, actually, who was able to stay healthy on the field all year. And I think you can paint the picture of how this defense can be really successful. I do think the depth worries me a bit, especially because, you know, they didn't draft anybody on the defensive side of things this year. But, I mean, if you look at this defense, we saw what they were able to do at the beginning of last year, and the defense is pretty much the same other than, you know, David Long being in Miami now. But, I mean, this team went a pretty big stretch, I think about six games, recording three sacks and an interception per game, which is pretty incredible. The last game that stopped that streak and ultimately stopped their winning streak was the one in Green Bay. Ended up losing there. But to your point of on if this team can be successful, I mean, if they were successful in this division, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I also look at this team last year, and I look at the wide receiver core that's pretty much the same heading into this year. The offensive line is better. I mean, if Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback on a poorly constructed offense last year, they would have won the division. They would have. I feel very confident in saying that. They would have won two more games, and they probably would have won more than that. I mean, you know, you think about that Chiefs game where, you know, Malik Willis was the quarterback, but that defense essentially almost won that game for them, and they lost in overtime. But, you know, it would have been a different story if he was healthy the entire year. So can this team win next year? Yeah, I think they can win next year. Can I see a collapse and a dumpster fire? Yeah, I could see that too. But if Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are out there and this defense is performing at the level we saw them perform at last year, I mean, I don't doubt that they could win, you know, go above 500. I don't think that's far-fetched, but I think then the conversation comes to, okay, are you going to be a middle-tier team that barely sneaks into the playoffs, maybe wins a bad AFC South? You already know you're getting rid of Tannehill, getting rid of Derrick Henry. So then what does it look like of you see a Will Levis progressing? Do you throw him in there when you look at, okay, we're turning towards the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And that's going back to, you know, Hutton's comments earlier this hour. It kind of leads us to right where they're at, which is, like, you can't really determine what they are. Like, are they rebuilding? Are they a team that's trying to be as good as they can be in 2023? Are you trying to do both? And if you are trying to do both, like, what does that actually mean? Like, if you're trying to be as good as you can be in 2023 while also building for the future, well, what exactly does that mean? What do you end up with if that's the case? And that's kind of where I feel like the Titans are. Like, I feel like the Titans are looking ahead, and obviously they've drafted Will Levis, and they've kind of revamped the offensive line here, and they're kind of setting themselves up for the future here with some moves that they've made, while also, at the moment, still having Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard and those guys on the offense. And that leads me back to kind of the overarching theme here, which is it kind of feels like they're doing both at the same time, which is a conversation we've had with the Predators before, too. It's a different situation. The league is different. The way you can maneuver the salary cap is different in the NFL, so it's not apples to apples. But I'm just saying, like, what is that going to lead to? 7 wins? 8 wins? 9 wins? And if so, what does that mean for your flexibility moving forward? And getting back to the question of the day today on the show, which is how do you best surround Will Levis and set him up for success? I mean, that's ultimately what this thing is going to be about. I mean, look, like I said before, there have been plenty of quarterbacks that have come in and they've built teams properly around him and it just hadn't worked out. Will Levis may come in here and maybe it's Marvin Harrison Jr. or whoever next year at wide receiver and you've got a stud number one guy. And Treylon Burks turns out to be a good number two, and you fix your offensive line, all these things, and it may not matter at the end of the day because Will Levis just isn't good. I mean, it may set everything back. But it could also be, I mean, how many quarterbacks have come through the league where maybe they could have been pretty good, and then you look at their situation and it's like, oh boy, like they have no offensive line, they have no wide receivers, they have nobody to help them out and catch the ball, and all of a sudden 6 years go by and they're out of the league and you wonder what could have been.
Well, and to Jonathan's point, what that Kentucky team looked like last year. Two freshman wide receivers, a running back who was suspended for the first part of the year, an offensive line who couldn't block for Will Levis, and you saw how much he struggled last year. I will say, you know, people can say, well, you know, if you're an elite quarterback, you should be able to, you know, make that roster better. Well, hate to break it to you people, that roster was so bad when he wasn't out there, they had 40 yards of offense when he didn't play in the South Carolina game. So I just want 40 yards of offense. Like, that is comical. That is how bad that team was last year. But, you know, playing at the college level, he elevated them to be still a bad team in the SEC. But if you set him up like that in the NFL, it's not a recipe for success. You know what he is. I mean, Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, they know he had trouble turning over the ball. Yep. Even in 2021 when he had a great roster. It's something we don't talk about a lot. Oh, he was great in 2021. Well, he still had double-digit interceptions that year. It's still a problem. So when you put him into a situation to be your starting quarterback, you need to make sure that things are right around him. I think that they have made changes to the offensive line. It looks better. You know, what can they do this year and then improve in 2024 when he actually is your starting quarterback? And how can you make the weapons around him better? You have a year to do it. So is this year just kind of wait and see? But honestly, we can just speculate now. I think the true test will be after June 1st. Is Ryan Tannehill still on the team? I believe he will be. But there is a possibility. You free up some cap space doing that. So where are their heads at, and how much do these off-season workouts and these rookie mini camps play into what they decide to do after June 1st?
615-737-1025, our phone number here on Robbie and Rex Road, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Got a couple more thoughts to get to as well. We'll also take your thoughts, a lot of people weighing in on the Connor Bedard situation from last night as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Fraser here with you. Little Travis Tritt bring us back. That's the second Travis Tritt reference we made today, Nick.
It's a great
day, the most
baby.
In history on this program.
Hey, it is a great day to be alive, y'all.
It's Nashville. We got to have a little country music into it, right?
That's true.
I love it.
Hey, I'm a fan.
That just got me pumped up for my next 2 hours of radio.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's right.
5 hours. Let's go.
Andrew on the text line says, what did Elijah Molden even hurt last year? Our cornerback group has been strange since Adoree with the injuries. So-and-so got a boo-boo, and then you don't hear from him for 10 weeks. They just disappear with a mysterious injury. I mean, Molden's a guy we don't talk about a lot, but I mean, you know, he had the groin last year, mm-hmm. and then he came back from it, and then he hurt the groin again and was out for the rest of the year. Like, we've talked about Fulton a lot in terms of he's got to stay healthy. Well, Molden's the same way, right? I mean, Molden's coming into his third year. I think when he's been on the field, he's been fine. The problem is he hasn't been on the field
all that much last year.
Like, it's like Roger McCreary, I feel like you can count on. And I know it's mm-hmm. only been 1 year. But Roger McCreary was healthy at Auburn. He's been healthy in the NFL so far. I like Roger McCreary. You know, he took some lumps last year. Specifically in the Dallas game, didn't go overly well for him. For the most part, I think he competes the heck out of him, out of the play every time. I like Roger McCreary.
He also has been working out with Kevin Byard in the offseason, so that is a recipe for success.
Yes. So, like, I feel good about him. And then beyond that, I feel good about Christian Fulton when he's on the field. How often is he going to be on the field? And Elijah Molden, I just don't know. Like, we hadn't seen him a whole lot. He's coming off a year where he basically just missed the whole year with the groin injury mm-hmm. last year. So, to Hutton's point earlier, you've got all that, and then you factor in the Caleb Farley pick with, honestly, and Joe went over the financials of this yesterday, it would be more expensive for the Titans to cut him than to keep him. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, the financial part of it aside, like if the Titans had their druthers, they would just, I can't imagine that they would keep him. They'd just say, all right, we'll see you. Just didn't work. Sorry, bad pick.
Well, and it goes back to the point too. Remember when Charles Robinson came on and he said you want to be right quick.
Yeah.
So if you know what you have with him, you know, I understand it'll be probably more of a financial burden if you get rid of him than if you keep him. But I mean, what? It's not like it's a guy like Kevin Byard who is so fundamental to your locker room and a leader. I mean, he's been on the team. This will be his third year. Going into his third year, and it's been, you know, a disappointment. And actually, Robbie, you'll find this interesting. I was going through some of my videos just throughout covering the Tennessee Titans the last 2 years, and I came across a video of Joe and I from my first training camp. And we're heading into training camp. This is before the 2021-2022 season. And I asked Joe, you know, who are guys to look out for in training camp who can make a significant impact to this team? And his two answers were, are you ready? Dylan Radins and Caleb Farley.
Yep.
And that just shows, you know, where we are right now as to, you know, Dylan Radins, a guy too, is coming off an ACL mm-hmm. tear. I don't know what his health is, but Caleb Farley, like, is it even worth it? I understand that you're going to be wasting money cutting him, but I mean, what is he bringing to the team?
I just don't know where he's going to play. Like, I mean,
special teams maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the role for him, right? Is somewhere on special teams.
Or I mean, Christian Fulton gets hurt, maybe one snap. Like, I think he did that last year. He went in for, like, one snap. Christian Fulton came out and then back in. I mean, but you can get somebody who's...
Let's say, I mean, they've got Sean Murphy Bunting in there now. They're like, Ben asks, is, you know, Sean Murphy Bunting going to start? I don't know if he's going to start or not. I mean, it's interesting because Murphy Bunting, he started 13 games for Tampa in 20. It was 8 games he started in 2021. He played in 12 last year for Tampa. And he only started 5. I don't know if he's going to start, but, I mean, he's going to factor in somewhere. That's the thing. Like, you go down the depth chart, and you've got Murphy Bunting, you've got Molden, you've got Fulton, you've got McCreary. You can go down the list a long way before you end up getting to Caleb Farley. And I just, you know, he's become an afterthought in this conversation. And that's why, you know, we even talked about it heading into the draft. Could the Titans at some point take a corner? Now, we know they didn't. They took all offensive players in the draft. And I saw yesterday they were the 4th team in the modern era. I think Jeremy Fowler put that out there.
Wow.
They took all one side of the ball in the draft. But that's what the Titans did. And we'll see how that works out for them. But I still like the defensive back group when they're healthy, but they got to stay healthy. And that's the other thing. Like you're one injury away at safety for that being a big problem. We saw Imani Hooker last year. I mean, he struggled to stay healthy, and you know, he was part-time safety last year, part-time slot corner with Elijah Molden being hurt. But just,
yeah, Elijah played 2 games last year.
Yeah, like it's a problem, and they got to get that part of it figured out. I mean, it's a good thing that McCreary can play inside and he can play outside, but I think they'd rather him be on the outside at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's one of the benefits. I remember when they drafted Roger McCreary last year, I was like, really? Like, people didn't know much about him. You heard that, oh, his arms are too short, but you've seen.
He did the Bush's Beans stuff.
The Bush's Beans. I remember interviewing him at SEC Media Days. He said he laid off those a little bit. He's on Kevin Byard's diet, you know, doing
still
some
one of the greatest
Pilates
moments in the history of this program was Roger McCreary singing for us on the air.
It was great, but he's proven that, you know, he had some rookie moments last year, but remember that one play he had where he was out of bounds and he threw it in bounds?
Yeah, tipped it back in? Yeah.
I mean, that's some of the football IQ stuff. I mean,
I really like him.
Shane Bowen, he was like, I don't view him as a rookie really early into his time with Tennessee. He's able to play multiple positions, which we know Mike Vrabel loves a guy who can be versatile. I think that you can count on him. I think that you can count on Kevin Byard. I think you can count on Imani Hooker. Elijah Molden is very concerning, considering it was one of those groin injuries that Vrabel talked about, one of those soft tissue, wasn't a broken leg, a torn ACL, turf toe. It was one of those things on, you know, do you work through it? And that's what Christian Fulton is. I think when you look at the defense, those are going to be my two interesting players too. They need to have a big year, not only for to help out in the secondary, but also too to, I mean, Elijah Molden in his 3rd year, Christian Fulton in his contract year. They want to prove that they can be reliable players in the NFL.
Andrew says they should put this in place of all the names on the Titans jerseys. Quote, when we are on the field, we are fine. End quote. Number 22 or whatever the number would be out there. Maybe so. Look, I said this last year and it didn't work, right? You know, 2021 rolls by. The Titans have the most injuries, most players used in the history of the league. And I say, you know what? There's no way something like that happens in 2022. It's
the
law
of
averages.
I said the same thing.
And it happened again in 2022 where they didn't use quite as many players, but they still led the league. I'm sitting here today on May the 9th.
I'm knocking on
this
wood.
Tuesday. There's no way the Titans can do this 3 years in a row, right?
They might. They just might. Hey,
you can't lead the league
knock
in injuries
on wood.
3 years in a row.
I just knocked on wood. I mean, we said this a year ago. I remember Teresa Walker coming on here, and she's like, I mean, there's no way that can happen. 2 years in a row. What they did was incredible. They overcame it. And, you know, we looked at Vrabel in that scenario, and we thought, wow, like the coaching, you overcame this. And then when it happens a second year in a row, and they're losing on top of it.
If they lead the league in injuries again, you know, we kind of laugh off the strength staff stuff. If they lead the league in injuries three years in a row,
that's
you clean house.
That yeah, I'm right there with you, Robbie. And also to add on to the DB conversation we were having, so the Titans invited a XFL DB, Elijah Griffin, out of the University of USC.
Yeah.
I tried to look on the XFL website for stats. Unfortunately, couldn't find anything about him. That's not concerning.
No XFL corner stats?
I didn't see any. I even looked in the defensive stats.
It wasn't updated yet.
USC looked on those stats, had a really good second year with them. Highly recommend looking at his tape if you're interested. But, yeah, I just want to give it a little input.
There you go. No XFL updated stats.
That's a little concerning. Man, did he play any games?
I believe he played in a few games, I hope.
I'm kidding.
Oh, man. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Michelle?
2 more hours, baby.
Thank you for stepping in. You got 2 hours left. We appreciate it. Chase Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.